Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. All right, welcome to the fellowship lunch. Meatloaf, everybody pro meatloaf? Who's my non-meatloafers? Well, I'm sorry, Britt. Hope you had some pie or some cake. So I love it. I can't wait to eat mine. Al said he's going to hook me up. So quite the weekend, right? In a few minutes, we're going to start this new series, The Things That Jesus Said. And we're going to look at this for weeks. What did he actually say? We're going to break it out in the Bible and look. We're going to watch a video here in a second. We're going to bring a little humor to it. I think it's good to laugh. But before we do that, this weekend alone, I was actually not at the race. I go about every other weekend. So you win the race, right? The pit crew has the fastest single lug pit stop in history. I don't know if you paid attention to the weekend, but the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series, all victory lanes were all Hendrick pit crews. You got the pole in the Cup race with what I was told was the fastest qualifying time on an intermediate track in history. And let's see, what else did we do? The engine shop won two races. Did I miss anything? That's pretty dang good, isn't it? Give yourself a hand. Yeah. Yeah, what a weekend, what a role. I still feel like God's blessing and honoring this place. So let's continue to pray for this company. I know the whole company doesn't come here at lunch, and let's just be honest. It'd be hard to pull this off in an hour with all 600 people in here. And so you guys are faithful, you come, but we're the praying side, the spiritual side of this company. And so I believe God hears us. So we should continue to lift this company up. We should pray for wins. The amount of people that are just blessed financially when this place wins, from fruit baskets to biscuits, I could go on and on, to signs out on the lawn. It sounds to me like we got a lot of people pulling for us, and so let's never take that for granted. With that said, let's pray for weather this weekend. It's not looking too good for Sunday, and so rain is never fun at Talladega, so that means you will not race if it's raining, but pray that maybe that would move out, and if it doesn't, I guess we'll race on Monday. We do have a few prayer requests. We're still praying for Al's daughter as she's navigating breast cancer. Let's continue to lift her up and pray for Al and his family as they help come alongside her, help her navigate that. We want to lift up Jimmy's here. His best friend, Doug, had a stroke Friday, and he's doing okay, but Jimmy was telling me they've been best friends since like 16 years old, right? And he just wants to be there for his friend. He's a believer, Doug is. He has a strong faith group and group of believers around him. But we want to pray for continued healing for him, Jimmy. And then, of course, anybody else here that has prayer requests, unspokens. I know of a lot of things going in a lot of people's lives here. And so we want to lift those up, bring them to the Lord. Because I do believe He's sovereign, and I believe He acts sometimes in ways that we never expect. So with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we once again get to take time to pause and fellowship and have a great meal in the workplace. And so, God, we are so grateful that we're allowed to do that. We're grateful, God, that we get to hear from You today, hear about Your Son's words. And so let us take that, Lord, and as we leave here, put those words into action. God, we think of these prayer requests. We continue to lift them up to You, Lord, and pray Your favor in these medical cancers and strokes and things like that, Lord. We know, Lord, that you create doctors and nurses and you give them these great gifts and talents so that they can help heal the human body. But also, God, you do miracles. And so, God, we pray a miracle over the two spoken of here today, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. Just give them comfort, put people in their lives that just want the best for them, Lord. We pray over this company this week as teams travel that you'll continue to protect them. We think of aviation, Lord, as they fly week in and week out, Lord, sometimes not seen by most people here at the company, Lord, but seen by the road guys and crews. And so, God, we lift them up that you would just protect all of our crews that travel and fly, Lord, and get them home safely. And, God, we do pray to win. We are a competitive environment, and so, God, we want to win. And so we know, God, Lord, that if that doesn't happen, you care about how we respond to that. So let us respond in a way that is honoring to you. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. And so we're going to watch one of my favorite comedians for just a few minutes, but it's going to make perfect sense with the message. But I want you to think about signs, right, and what they say to us. And just hear what Mr. John Chris has to say.
Weak, just weaker and weaker. Go outside. Like, I know God said not to judge, but I don't know if he anticipated the type of people that were going to be on earth in 2022. Have you ever been outside? Just, oh, everywhere you go, there's a sign, because people are just on the verge of death everywhere. No running, no walking. Here's a curb. Step up. Okay. Because there used to be no sign. People are tripping and dying. We got to get a sign on the curb. People are dying. How do we even cross intersections before the... We just had to look and guess. I'm sorry, I get anxiety. I can't make that choice. I just walk up an intersection and say, 8, 7, 6, 5. They don't tell you how long it takes to cross. 30 seconds, 6. I have no idea. I'm not making this choice. Go ask your grandparents. Say, hey, granddad, at Christmas, ask him, granddad, how'd you used to cross intersections? Well, let me tell you, son, what we would do is we would just go up to a street and then we would just look. And then if there weren't any cars, we just walked across. My granddaddy's evil, Knievel! Everywhere you go outside, everywhere, there's a sign. You ever seen this sign? Slippery when wet, slippery when wet. Who hasn't pieced this together yet? Wet stuff, I'm sorry. Wet stuff is slippery. You can figure that out in the womb. Like, that's not a great example, but I'm saying, I can't get much traction in here. Like, people just on the verge of death. You ever seen a sign on the railing at the mall? Attention, do not lean on the railing. Why is that there? Somebody must have. You gotta get a sign on the railing. People are dying outside a Foot Locker. Hey, you ever cross like a train track? Like a simple train track should be very easy. It's like 500 yards out, train track approaching, 100 yards out, train track approaching, 50 yards out, train track approaching, 25 yards out, train track approaching. There's a ding, ding, ding. There's a horn, there's a gate, there's a light, there's a siren. If after all that, you still get hit by a train, God's will has been done in your life. I'm sorry. You were sent as an example to others. I'm sorry. Everywhere you go, my buddy like texted me the other day. He was at the zoo with his kids. He saw a sign at the gorilla cage. It says, attention, no kids in the gorilla cage. Because, you know what I'm talking about? A couple years ago, that kid got in there and then they shot the gorilla. Yeah, they shot the gorilla. The gorilla, what? Listen, the gorilla was at work. It was Tuesday afternoon at 1:30. He was clocked in. He was where he was supposed to be. He just comes out every day to... minding his business. And then a kid got in the cage and they shot him. How would you feel if you're just sitting in your cubicle just typing away at the office? And a Bengal tiger walked in and they shot you. This is where I was supposed to be. I was fascinated by that story. I read the article. It said the Cincinnati Zoo brings in $150 million of revenue, and this gorilla was the central attraction. They shot it. All I'm saying is, this kid better go on to be successful. I'm just saying, if he's 30 and working at Chipotle, we made a bad investment. All over this country, we got these signs. It's only in America. I went down to Peru on a mission trip, like with my church. We were going to go swim in the Amazon River. The guide is like randomly walking by. He's like, hey, if you're going to swim in the river, make sure you swim in groups of three or more so you scare away the anacondas. What? I feel like that needs a sign. Everywhere you go, just people on the verge of death at all times. There's a phone app that came out recently, very popular. It's a breathing app. All it does is it goes, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. It's saving lives. We got signs up all over this country trying to keep people alive that should be dead. I'm sorry. I love Jesus, but we got to take some of these signs down and start weeding some people out, really. Doing
signs, right? We're a world, an America, a city, a campus with signs all trying to say something to us. And if you're much like me, we listen or read and obey about half of them, right? And so they're trying to say something to us, sometimes for our own benefit, and sometimes as he said, why is this even here? But we don't always pay attention to them and listen to them and obey them, right, when they say things to us. But I want us to look at what the signs that Jesus has given us, that he has said to us, things that he has said through the scriptures that are important for us. The reason that we follow and listen to Jesus is because, obviously, he's God in human flesh, but not only that, he has a system, an order that is best for humanity. In other words, if we were trying to learn how to do life and we wanted to go to the source of what's the best way to do life, especially from a spiritual and a moral compass, Jesus has the answers. That's why we follow him. And so with that said, I want us to look at that today. I want to read the verse for today, Matthew 4:10. So Jesus here is being tempted by the devil. This is an occasion in Matthew 4 where we see he's being tempted. And he says this, then Jesus said to him, he's talking to the devil, Satan. Remember, he's our enemy. He said, go away, Satan, for it is written and forever remains written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and serve him only. Now, can you imagine if he's saying that to Satan, what does that mean to us? See, Jesus has said something here. Hey, Satan, you can only worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's the only person that Jesus is going to worship, right? And so with that said, he has said something. So why do we listen to Jesus? What's the whole point of why do I want to listen to him versus philosophers or people that are on earth today that have things to say to us, other religions and leaders in religion? Why Jesus? Why not all the other faith leaders like Gandhi and Muhammad, and I could go on and on. Why not them? Why just Jesus? Well, listen to this. He was God in human flesh. That's one reason we listen to him. How do we know that? John 1:14. The word became flesh. The word here, that word means Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So one reason we listen to him is he's God in human flesh. Second, he was with God in the beginning. We often miss this, that Jesus didn't just come around when he was born. He came from the beginning. We see this in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's key there, and the Word was God. How do we know that? Well, we can go to Genesis, the book of Genesis 1:26. It says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Isn't it interesting that he said, let us? Who's us? Well, God. We know Jesus is there from the beginning. And so we listen to him because he was with God in the beginning. Also, he is our Savior. 1 John 1:14 or 4:14, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." See, that's another reason we listen to him, because he's our Savior. And then last, he was perfect without sin. The uniqueness of Christ is that he was perfect. Wouldn't you like to be perfect with no sin? How do we know this? Well, we see it in Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness," meaning Christ, "but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." So why do we listen to Jesus? Why do we listen to the words written about him? Why do we listen to or look at the red letters in the Bible, which are his words? Well, he was perfect. He's our Savior. He was in the beginning, and he's God. That's why we listen to him. So what did he say? Jesus said a lot, and we're going to look at the four R's today. Next week, we're going to look at the seven woes. You probably don't hear much about this Jesus, but he had a lot to say to the Pharisees. But the four R's, I think they're important for us because Jesus said this. So what do we do with the four R's? Where the first one is repent. If you've been in the church long enough, you've heard that word repent. Listen to what Jesus said here in Matthew 4:17. This is the beginning of his ministry. He said this, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, which means change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, live your life in a way that proves repentance, seek God's purpose for your life." That's from the Amplified. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So we see he says, hey, repent. Well, what did he mean by that? He said it. Well, repent means this. It means to change one's mind. Change one's mind. So we look at life out there, and we kind of want to go our own way. We have our own flesh. I want to do what I want to do. And Jesus is saying, no, first of all, you need to repent. I want you to think about that. You need to repent. So you need to change your mind, the way you look at the world God's put you in. So what else does that mean? Well, true repentance means change of actions. So we're not living tailor to your own flesh, but to your spirit. So you're going to change your mind, and that should do what? That should change your actions. What else does he say? We see this. To change is a mind of Christ that is lived to honor his way. So I'm changing my mind. I'm putting actions into place, and I'm doing it in a way that honors Christ. So I'm looking to the scriptures, which is God's word, and going, I'm changing my mind to not live a worldly way, because remember, the world is one of your enemies. I'm changing my mind to live the way Christ wants me to. And we get that from his word. So one thing he tells us to do is repent. It simply means to go in another direction. You're going this way. Nope, not doing that anymore. I'm going this way. So when you hear that word repent and you think about from a moral perspective, you think about the sins of humanity. There's certain things God wants us to do and not do. And so if I'm a person that is, my life's goal is to drink alcohol and get drunk a lot, and God says, I don't want you to be a drunkard. Not because he's against alcohol, but of the effects of it. So I'm going this way, I'm living this lifestyle, and I need to repent, and I need to change my mind about that, and I need to go the other way. I need to not be a part of that. Doesn't mean you can't drink something, but it does mean that you have a lifestyle with a mind change that says, that's not who I am anymore. And that repentance involves everything, what we say, how we treat people, how we act when certain things happen around us. Because we're called to be different. Why? Because it's better for us. And so he says repent. That's what Jesus said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Another word he says, is rejoice. Now, who was watching the race on Sunday? Who was acting a fool in front of their TV? Just go ahead, you jumping around. I was pacing. I was like, oh, come on. Can we have one more restart? Right? I was rejoicing, man. I was pumped up. I was happy, right? But who was rejoicing when the wheel flew off? Anybody? No. You were like, dang it, that didn't look right. That's not good. But God wants us to be always rejoicing, no matter what happens. Listen to this, what Jesus said. Matthew 5. He's actually, Jesus is teaching how blessed believers are. He's just finished the Beatitudes. This is right at the end of the Beatitudes. He says this, blessed are you when people insult you. You ever been insulted lately? Well, if you have, you've been blessed. Persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Anytime someone insults you, persecutes you, says evil things about you because of your faith in Christ, you are blessed. Now, you probably don't feel blessed, but this is what Jesus says. He then goes on to go rejoice and be glad. So next time you're insulted, you're persecuted, people are saying evil things about you because of your faith in Christ, because you're standing for God's order, rejoice and be glad. He goes on to say, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You ever feel like rejoicing when people talk about your faith, persecute you, say evil things about you? Well, Jesus said, not only repent and change your mind, but he said, hey, rejoice. What does that mean? Well, rejoice means to show great joy and delight. Hard to do, right, when you're being persecuted because of your faith, right? It's encouragement to live daily lives to please God. That's what rejoice means. And then it's the joy of the Lord we know is your strength. So in the midst of this rejoicing, you have joy and delight, but that also, joy, is the strength you get from the Lord. So it doesn't really matter what your situation is, right? Who was here in 2018? Y'all remember how many races we won that year? Was there any rejoicing going on? There's a lot of misery going on, right? That was like my second year being a chaplain here. And, oh, it was brutal. I'm glad we got through it, right? You ever notice we don't rejoice when things are going bad? But as believers, should we be? Now, this doesn't mean we rejoice at hurt and pain and suffering and disease and death. But there is a point about our life as believers when Jesus says, hey, listen, because great is your reward in heaven. We can't miss the fact that there's something that awaits us, that is eternal and that is glorious, and that no matter what's going on in our life, when it comes to our faith, we can rejoice. Regardless of how bad it gets, because we know what is to come. So Jesus said, do what? Blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, when they say evil things about you because of your faith, because of him. He says, hey, whatever you do, rejoice and be glad. That's what Jesus said. He goes on to tell us this, be righteous. Now, we're all trying to do that, right? Listen to this. For I say to you that unless your righteousness, which means the right way. Let me help us understand this. God has a way that is right. It's not conservative, by the way. It's right. It's a right way. But our enemy has a way that is the wrong way, right? So we're all trying to pursue righteousness, which is the right way, right? So Jesus is wanting us to be righteous. He says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness, in other words, your pursuit of the right way, your uprightness, your moral essence is more than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now you're like, how does that verse? It kind of puts us on the spot, doesn't it? Well, we can't be righteous left to ourselves, right? The Pharisees, they thought they were righteous. They were self-righteous because they thought they were perfect. and they never sin. That's why they called everybody out. We're going to learn about them next week. But he says, I say to you that unless your righteousness, right, is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, how can I be righteous? Because I'm a sinner, and I'm not always going the right way. I'm in a struggle. Well, we have to understand what he means there. To be righteous is of a person or conduct to be morally right and justifiable. So in other words, the only way I can be morally right and justifiable is only Christ can do that for me. Left to myself, I will never be good enough to be righteous enough for the kingdom of heaven. But because of what Christ did on the cross, he makes us righteous. I want you to listen to this right here. Only Christ's sacrifice makes us righteous. How do I know this? Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians. He said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So through Christ, I become righteous. So he's not just saying, hey, do good things and be righteous. He's saying, hey, I'm the way. And so Jesus is wanting us to be righteous, but the only way you're going to be able to do that is to go through him. That's what he said. Not only that, he wants us to be virtuous. Now, I had to put this in here. We live in the age of virtue signaling. Have y'all studied that lately? It's very prominent. It's just another word for self-righteousness. Let me read to you what virtue signaling is. It's public expression of opinions intended to demonstrate one's good character or social conscience of moral correctness, to speak of your goodness. In other words, it's like this. It's saying, look how awesome I am. Look how righteous I am. Look how good I am. If you could only be like me. I can't believe you're so terrible. I can't believe you did that. Why do people do that? Like, it's self-righteousness, right? And I promise you, if you come next week, you're going to learn what Jesus thinks of that. So he's not asking us to be self-righteous, right? Because without Christ, none of us are righteous. But he is saying, I want you to be righteous in the sense that I want you to follow me because I will make you righteous. And in that, we have to do what? We have to believe in that sacrifice that he did for us with the help of the Holy Spirit, and it'll prompt us to do right. To do what? Make righteous choices. And so Jesus wants us to be righteous. I can't imagine following anyone that would lead me to say, hey man, just be unrighteous. Why don't you just do your own deal and be unrighteous? But do you know what? There are people out there today that are telling you that without using those words. Just be unrighteous. Go your own way. Don't listen to Jesus. Don't listen to religion. Be your own you. And if that means being unrighteous, so what? No, Jesus said, be righteous. And then last, he said, be reconciled. Boy, this is a hard one for us. This is a very hard one. Could you imagine walking around every day and you saw signs that said, reconcile. Be reconciled. Well, listen to what Jesus said. He's speaking about hate and murder. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your own way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. See, in that day and culture, to bring a gift to the altar, especially at the temple, it was a very holy and reverent thing. It's kind of like communion today. If you're ever at your church and you're about to take communion and you're not a believer, at my church you're instructed, do not take of this cup because you're not a believer. But also, if you have any undealt with sin in your life, habitual sin, don't take of the cup. In other words, you want to come pure and clean. And in this day, Jesus is reminding them, hey, maybe you have something going on with you or a brother in Christ or a friend or someone. And if you're dealing with that and you haven't reconciled, don't bring that to the altar. We see before the scripture, he's talking about murder. And the Pharisees in that day or people would say, well, I'm not a murderer. And so he challenged that and said, well, if you hate your brother, then you're a murderer. It's the same. And then he goes on with this verse. And so to reconcile means to restore friendly relations. You ever had a relationship with someone that just went south? Maybe you don't even talk anymore because of it. Maybe it's here at the shops where you don't even look at each other anymore when you walk by. You're like, oh, I see them coming. I'm going to go a different way. You know, you don't talk anymore. Well, do you know Jesus wants us to reconcile? He wants us to restore those relations. Not only that, God reconciled us back to him through Jesus. The very reason that we're saved is because God wanted to bring us back into relations with him. So because of our sin, it separates us from God, all things good. So we're separated. It's like friends in a fight. I ain't talking to you no more. Family members. But then Jesus comes, dies for us on the cross to do what? To reconcile, to bring us back into relations with God. What separated us from God? Our sin. Jesus defeated that on the cross, and so we've been brought back into relations with God. But not only that, reconciliation involves change of attitude and heart and mind. And so when Jesus says, hey, be reconciled, he's saying you got to restore these relations with people that you've fallen out with, that you're angered over, that you're bitter with. And I think we all have people like that in our life where we're carrying all that around. And so Jesus here says four things. First, he says, repent. Change your mind. He says, rejoice and be glad in it. In other words, show great joy and delight, not just when you win. What do you do when you lose, right? He says, be righteous. There is a way. It's his way. You need to be righteous. And then not only that, he wants us to be reconciled with those around us. That comes with loving your neighbor as yourself. And so four things Jesus said. Could you imagine if we had a sign with these words on it all around the campus? Imagine if you walked up and the sign said, hey, repent. What would you do? What would you do if you walked up and the sign said, hey, man, you need to rejoice. Maybe I need to work on getting these signs around here. I don't know. Or what if you walked up and the sign before you walked into the shop said, be righteous? Or last, a sign definitely before you walk in the shop said, be reconciled. And you had to walk in the shop and build relations with someone that you just can't stand working with, right? They'd be like, what are y'all doing down there at that fellowship lunch? Well, you know why they're important? Because Jesus said it. Why is that important? Because he's God and he's our Savior. And so I'll close with this. We are commanded by Jesus to change our mind about how we do and see life, and to rejoice as we do. He don't want to change your mind grudgingly. We should rejoice when we do, and to pursue a righteous moral life, and to restore any wrongdoing along the way. What a unique thing to be able to do. That's what God's called us to do. Why? Because Jesus said it. And so I want you to think about these four R's. Maybe you can bring them up with people that you work around or your family members or those close to you. Why do we follow Jesus? Because he has something to say. And what he has to say is important for us as we do this life. And why is that important? Because the kingdom of heaven is our reward and it awaits us. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for these words. Lord, we know Jesus spoke long ago and many, many people in his day followed him and wanted to hear what he had to say. We know, God, we read in the scriptures that many people turned away and walked away from him, and many still do today. But we know, God, Lord, you want us, your followers, to continue to obey and follow you and your words because it is best. We know, God, Lord, that when we repent, that when we rejoice, that when we are pursuing righteousness and we are reconciled to those that we have wronged or have wronged us, that life is just better. And so, God, we pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would help us put these words into action and to be different. But not only that, Lord, we pray for your extended mercy and grace over us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Take care and God bless.